But this morning we're back into this series that Dave started the previous week, and he basically has been explaining to us that we believe that as TCC, as a church family, we're kind of in this transition from an expression of church, a church that's been good, it's had a very positive impact, and yet it's morphing into something which is a whole new season. Dave Moore's alluded to it this morning already in what he shared. Mark alluded to it. There's this sense that there's a new season. There's a whole new chapter unfolding for us, which you cannot just kind of be passive and expect it to happen. You have to grab hold of. You have to work with the process of entering that. So Dave explained a few weeks ago that he kind of felt we were in the pupa. We're kind of not the caterpillar anymore, and we're not the butterfly yet, and so we can feel a little bit like we're in the mush in the middle, and it can be a little bit disorientating sometimes. So the purpose of this present series we're on, talking about towards the butterfly, is to bring clarity on what we believe the butterfly looks like and how we can engage with that process a little bit more meaningfully. That butterfly is, I think, summed up by the other image, our love, grow, serve triangle, which you'll remember basically takes who we are as a church. In the middle there, there's normally love, grow, and serve, the three words. You've got the love there for the heart. But that's showing God, church, and world as the three focuses of our affection. And last time Dave preached, he talked about love, the love word, made it clear that our love for God and our love for the world and our love for what God's building through as the church has to be in balance. And if we just love God but don't love what he's doing amongst us and don't love the world, we're not what God wants. If it's all about just the world, we become social services, and we lose our connection with him and one another. If it's just about all us, it's just a social club, spiritual social club. But we don't have a heart for the world, and you get my point. That concept, the triangle, the three directions, holds these core values of loving, growing, and serving in a wonderful balance. And I love the way that Dave unpacked that. If you didn't hear it, please do listen to the podcast, because this morning we're going to move on to the second of the key words, which is grow. Grow. And if we put grow in the middle, what we're saying is our growth is Godward, our growth is churchward, and our growth is also towards the world. Now, the scripture we heard at the start in Ephesians 4, I want to suggest to you this morning, is really all about growth. It's all about growth. Just look at it with me. Ephesians 4, verse 4 at the start of the whole section says, there is one body, and bodies grow. If a body's not growing, developing, then we say it's sick, don't we? There's something wrong with it. It's unhealthy. Bodies grow. Then in verse 11, from where our passage began, it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. In other words, grow. So this growth has a destination, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So the idea is this healthy body that we represent is growing, and eventually it grows up, becomes mature, full grown. Then he goes on to say, we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become. Not that phrase. We will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It's all about growth. So next week when you see that video again, because you will, because next week Rachel's going to be talking about serve, our third word, and how that unpacks as we've become the butterfly. I'm putting a bid in to say there's more about growth than there is than about loving and serving. But these guys are going to disagree with me and say, no, Steve, it's all about balance. And you get the point. You've got to believe in what you're preaching when you're preaching it. So sticking with the thought that we're to grow like a body, the body of Christ, let me first just say this. Growth is required at two levels. And this is a non-negotiable, it's how it is in the Christian journey. Growth is required at a personal level, and it's required at a corporate level. And the truth is, one is a function of the other. We will never become the butterfly if I don't grow. We will never become it, this church that we believe God's put in our hearts to become, unless you grow. Unless you keep growing, and actually in those three directions, because the points of our triangle are teaching us that we have to grow in a balanced manner. I must grow in my relationship with God. Then we will experience corporate growth in that spiritual realm. If you think this church isn't very spiritual, well, the only way to change that is for you to grow in your relationship with God, and thus you make it more spiritual. And you add some supernatural quality. You get in words of wisdom and encouragement. You're praying for people. You're bringing God's word. You're lifting the level. You're growing our spirituality corporately because you've made a personal commitment to grow in your relationship with God. I've got to grow in my relationship with the church, with the other people who are saved, my spiritual brothers and sisters. And if I do, then we grow. Relationships become richer. Trust becomes deeper between us. Our standing together as we battle through things and celebrate the wins becomes much richer and deeper. And I've got to grow in my relationship with the world. Unless I grow in my relationship with the world, then I can't expect we to. It was great having Jane on here this morning. Because Jane represents one of the sharp points of the arrow where this church connects with the community. But if we all sit here and say, oh, I'm so glad I am in a church that has a cap center, what we're doing is we're saying, thank God they're doing all that nasty work for us, and I'll just stay in my church bubble maybe, or I'll just stick with my... We can't do that, can we? The balance has got to be there for us all. I must commit to grow with my relationship with God. I must commit to grow with people who are saved, and I must commit to grow with people who are yet to be saved and be the salt and the light that God has called us to be. And only as I do that do we become the butterfly. No, I've been a pastor many years now and bump into people who get grumpy about church. And sometimes they blame the church for not growing. So, oh, this church isn't growing, I'm leaving. Well, that's not logical, actually. But, you know, this church isn't growing, or this church isn't growing spiritually. This church isn't growing evangelistically. This church isn't growing in its community feel. Well, it won't, unless you do. If ever you blame the church for something, you've got to remember you're blaming yourself. Because you're it. We're it. We're living stones. Or we're members of this body, to use this analogy. So if ever you feel a bit grumpy about the church, then realize you're getting grumpy with yourself. And if you talk to Jesus about it, he will help you to understand what you can do to help enrich that body and grow it like we're talking about today. So how are you growing? Think about it. How are you growing in relationship to God? You know, it's not rocket science, that is it? It is a relationship. You have to talk to him. That's prayer. You have to read his word, which helps you understand how he thinks and how he operates. You need to be with other believers to grow you in that journey. You learn to question, to trust and to obey and to take steps of faith. You grow in your relationship with God. Now, how are you growing in relationship with the church? How are you growing in relationship with the community around us? Each of those aspects, each of the three points of the triangle are big subjects. We've been there before in these contexts, so I'm not going to go there again. I'm not going to tell you what I believe you know. I believe the church generally knows what it should do and just needs reminding occasionally to do it. So let's just take it for granted. If we're going to become the butterfly, the new church God's got for us, we are committed to growing our relationship with God, the church, and the world. So I'm not going to linger there today. Today what I want to say is this. The caterpillar church we were did not have all those three things in healthy balance, I believe. But we aspire to bring them into balance so we can fly at a whole new level. And that aspiration demands we grapple with the dynamics of growth. And I want us to look at that from this scripture we read just for a few minutes to help you connect with this growth principle. See, if we're going to become the butterfly, the first thing we have got to do is grow up. We've got to grow up. I showed you how it's full of growth, that text. You know, verse 14, then we will no longer be infants. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we'll grow to become the mature body. It's about growing up. It's about being a spiritual baby and becoming a spiritual adult. And it's about that expressed in each of those three ways. You know, growing old just happens, doesn't it? You can't stop it. So flipping frustrating. Growing old just happens, but growing up is always a choice. Becoming more mature is a choice. Becoming mature takes hard decisions. Getting some wisdom and discerning right things and wrong things to do. Making choices which sometimes others don't understand. Growing up moves us from childhood to adulthood, from infancy to maturity. You know, it takes us from being like a baby where we just sort of sit there going, feed me, spoon-fed, or, you know, play with me, or put some fun in my world, mum and dad. You know, kids are just innately selfish. They want everything pushing their way. But adults are the reverse of that. They're the ones that are thinking for themselves, that are feeding themselves, that are not being selfish, but generally are thinking of others, laying their lives down for others, wanting to help others, becoming what we've heard about this morning already, being good, being kind, reaching out. And therefore, the triangle gets balanced. And I think a healthy church community should always have babies in it. If we don't have spiritual babies, then we've stopped growing at that spiritual level. Now, we're pretty good at the physical baby thing, you know, that gallery room down there and the creche and stuff is always rammed. But we're good at producing babies, but spiritual babies, people who have just come to faith, just trying to work out who God is, trying to work out, well, what is baptism? Isn't it good we've had so many baptisms this year so far? I love it, because that's a sign there's spiritual new birth in the house. But that therefore puts a responsibility on the rest of us to say, okay, if we're going to have spiritual babies around, they need some adulthood modeling to them. They need spiritual mums and dads and aunts and uncles, and that's what the rest of us get to do. We help one another grow up. So we've got to model what it means to grow spiritually. So when they look at these new people come and they look at the triangle and go, love, grow, serve. Right, interesting. God, church, world. It's a lovely little logo. It just prints really well. What they have to do is look at you and me and go, ah, that's what they mean by love God. Wow, that's what they mean by growing God. Why? Because they're doing life with you, they're watching you, they're seeing how you worship, they're seeing how you engage with the word, they're listening to the stories you're telling, they're just watching your life and realizing, ah, this is the fleshed out butterfly. You're it. So we must all model that. We must all get involved in that discipleship process. And we must all be bridges into and from the world so we grow in relationship to society around us. So the first thing I want to say to us this morning is, if we're going to become the butterfly and move towards it, we must all may have a commitment that says, right, God, I'm going to grow up. I am going to mature. I'm on my way to maturing in my relationship with Jesus, my relationship with the church, my relationship with the community. And therefore, Thereby, you play your part in helping us become the butterfly. The second growth dynamic that's required if we're going to become the butterfly is this. We've not just got to grow up, but we have to grow together. Or maybe I even should say we must grow all together. Because verse 16 of our scripture says this, from him, that's from Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. All these corporate terms, it's the whole body, supporting ligaments, each part does its work. You just get the feel that this healthy body he's talking about here is growing together. That means there's proportionate growth. If a body grows disproportionately, it's grotesque. It's weird. It actually becomes a monster. You know, if you think of a physical body and just one of your limbs grew massively more than the other, or your head was 15 times bigger than it should be, or your big toe suddenly went, you know, or Pinocchio, your nose went, whatever. It's like, whoa, that's weird. Well, welcome to churches that don't grow together. Because we're saying, we're the body of Jesus. You want to see Jesus? Look at us, we're the body of Christ. But if we're odd, or weird, or grotesque, because some of us are growing rapidly, and some are actually stuck or shrinking back, it becomes abnormal. We must have a commitment to grow together, to grow all together, to go forward together. You know, if all our growth is in just one area or one aspect, we actually become lopsided. A butterfly has two wings. They've got to be the same size for it to grow. It's got to be the right weight. It's all those sort of dynamics in place. Now, when I think about this, I think, okay, the spiritual body must grow in a balanced and healthy way, which means we're growing together. This raises a ton of issues for me. Because churches sometimes become known for certain emphases or strengths. Oh yeah, that's the church that does the cap thing. That's them, isn't it? No, it's not them. It's part of what we do. It's part of our expression. Oh yeah, that's the church where the worship's always about 15 hours long there and they lie on the carpet for 3 hours. Yeah. Oh, that's the church, the happy clappy church. Oh, that's the church where they do it all from a book. Churches get reputations for doing one thing. And that is not how it should be. To be the butterfly that flies and have these things in balance, we have to get the reputation of growing together and having a range of emphases and strengths held in beautiful tension. No, churches are seen to fail because of a lack of a certain emphasis or strength. So it's worth us thinking, how do we grow together? How can we make sure that our spirituality, our growth, our progress is balanced? Well, let me come at it from this way. Truth is, we measure what we value in life, don't we? And as churches, generally, we measure what we value. So for example, if the church highly values Sundays, like this, and events, meetings, the most spiritual people will become to be considered those who attend the most meetings. Because we value that highly. And growth will be measured by attendance at those meetings. Bums on seats. Because that's what we highly value. We highly value it, so we measure it, we monitor it, and that's kind of an aspect. Now, if the church highly values evangelism and reaching the lost, the most spiritual people will tend to be regarded as those who are actually doing it. Oh, man, Jane Fisher. Oh, she's a saint. She's out there with the cap clans. God bless Jane. We would highly value. We would see people who are actually giving stories of leading people to Christ as being more spiritual than others potentially, because you measure what you value. And growth had been measured by people getting saved in water baptisms. But what if a church highly values Bible study and discipleship and gaining knowledge? Well, in those kind of churches, spirituality tends to be linked to those who know their Bible best, those who know theology the best. And growth will be measured by spiritual and biblical depth, engagement with Bible studies, courses, and training programs. You see what I'm saying? Where the thing you value the most, suddenly, and the thing you therefore measure the most, tends to become where everybody tends to think that's where true spirituality is, and develops it in that way. If the church highly values spiritual gifts, prophecy, the supernatural, encounters with God, and the most spiritual are going to be the ones who move in those gifts. You mean you're not baptizing the Holy Spirit? You mean you don't speak in tongues? You mean you've not laid hands on somebody to be healed yet? Wow. And the implication is, until you've done that, you're not kind of spiritual enough. Whew. So growth gets measured by the increasing quality of corporate worship, the number of people who've had those encounters and who move in the supernatural. I hope you're realizing all these things are good. Every single one of them is good, but on their own, they could define and make us lopsided. What if the church really highly values helping the poor, seeking justice for the oppressed and the marginalized? Well, the most spiritual will be perceived to be those who are doing it, who are helping the addicts, running the mercy ministries, the food banks, and the homeless shelters, and growth will be measured by the numbers of people who come that route. And I know churches who are way lopsided on those things. But what if the church is highly valuing sending out missionaries, planting churches, sending out workers into the world? If that's a high value and we measure that, then the most spiritual will come to be regarded those who are willing to go on a mission, those who are willing to be sent out, those who've been on mission, and growth will be measured by new church plants, mission initiatives, and so on. I could go on. All these things are good. But can you see how easy it is to become unbalanced? If just one of them is overemphasized and the others are neglected, we don't begin to do all the things that we actually believe God wants us to do and be as his body. And what I realized this week reading this passage, we've got to go back to the basics and say, hang on, whose body are we? If we believe we're to grow up as a body, as a church, whose body are we? We are Christ's. So actually, I have to ask the question, what does Jesus value the most? Measure that and begin to get spirituality around that in a whole new way. And I think we get an indicator in our scripture. Because it says in verse 11 that as part of this growth process, it says Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up. I simply want to say this. This church will only ever come to balance and fly and be the butterfly when we have all those five emphases that Jesus says we need present in the church. I want to say this too. They are present in this church. It's just that some of them need a bit more releasing than others. Some of them need a little bit more understanding. But unless you have all five of those emphases working amongst you in the church community, you can never be what Jesus says we're going to be. All those five things, actually, you can make a case that we're all encouraged to be them at different times and to practice them and to excel in them. And the reality is that if you become excellent at one of those emphases, you become regarded as that kind of ministry. That's how the sort of church has become. But I want to encourage you all to understand that as we move forward as a church, we will have an apostolic emphasis, a prophetic emphasis, an evangelistic emphasis. There will be a shepherding emphasis and a teaching emphasis. And thank you, Jesus, it keeps us in balance. And it helps us growing into wholeness. No, an apostle is simply a sent one. Jesus is not counting how many we have seated, but how many we've sent. and how many we are sending. And then, well, who are they? Well, actually, it's you and me, because we're all called to go. We've all been sent into this world. And some are extremely gifted and understand what the sending thing's all about. They're entrepreneurial. They're initiators. They step out in new initiatives and new areas, and they're provokers in faith and in life. And they would be like that whether they were Christians or not. They're movers and shakers. And we need that emphasis because it keeps the church on the cutting edge of moving forward. The prophetic thing is not about prophesying, because the New Testament says you can all prophesy. You can all get a word from God for someone else. That's cool. You need to aspire to that. You need to learn how to do it and be good at it. But to be a prophetic community is to be a community that is the thus saith the Lord from heaven to the world. Now, the prophets in the Bible are the people who stood for justice, stood for righteousness. They were the ones that would be running the food banks, and they'd be running Hope for Justice. They'd be standing up against Parliament and lobby groups on issues that touched God's righteousness. That's the prophetic ministry. That's what prophets do. And the prophets also hold God's people to account. The prophets basically said, hey, Israel, what are you doing? You're supposed to walk in God's ways, and you've moved. Get back on track. And so that prophetic spirit, that emphasis in the church, keeps us all safe, keeps us all in line with God's word and his heart for us as a community, and it keeps us mindful of God's emphasis in the world around us. The evangelists are the primary recruiters, those that just love to reach out. They develop an invitational and a welcoming culture to the church, loving and including all. They're full of faith stories, and they inspire the rest of us. The shepherds, the pastors, they just love creating this atmosphere of loving, caring family. They become the relational glue of the church. And they just love creating places of healing and recovery, places where people can grow and be nurtured. The teachers? Well, the teachers, people like me, we just love to foster learning, a learning culture. Develop resources to equip the church, explaining the scriptures, providing instruction to those who have come to faith. Now, if we have all five, we're a people who know what we believe, who are doing what we believe, who are making a difference, who have a voice into society, and the balance becomes what Jesus intended. Now, aspects of that we will no doubt unpack in the weeks ahead, but to become the butterfly, there's got to be an increasing balance seen between those emphases. So we've got to grow up. We've got to grow together. There's a personal piece of work in that. There's a conversation that you need with Jesus about, well, where do I fit? What's my shape in the body of Christ? Part of the body am I? Because you have all these emphases. It's here in the room. The miracle is in the house. But lastly, I want to say this. If our picture of becoming the butterfly is to become true, somewhere along the growth curve, there is a moment of breakout. You saw it on that video. Eventually, the butterfly breaks out of the pupa. So, yeah, you have to grow up, and we have to grow together, but ultimately, we have to grow through. We have to grow through and become. See, caterpillars do grow. Nothing wrong with being a caterpillar when you're supposed to be a caterpillar. It's just that they grow and they get fat by eating the same thing over and over again. They chomp their way around the leaf. You know, you've all read the book to your kids, The Very Hungry Caterpillar. And Ben preached from it the other week. It's kind of how it is. But eventually they get fat by eating the same thing over and over again. And that's not in itself bad, because all it's doing is gathering fuel and food storage needed for the transition to the butterfly. But a day must come when it must stop just stuffing its face and let what it's eaten transform it from the inside out, and then it flies. That day must come. There's got to be a point where we grow through, break out from the pupa, break out from that transitionary state of being neither one thing or the other. The fog clears. I think our challenge is to take all we know and have been and let it move from our heads to our hearts, from practice to ideas, and get to the place where we break through together because we've agreed we're going to grow through together. You see, we don't just plan to leave the caterpillar behind. That's kind of previous patterns of church life, maybe previous mindsets, different things that form the values of the church which were good for their season. We don't just plan to leave the caterpillar behind. We plan to leave the caterpillar soup behind. We plan to leave the transition behind. We plan to leave the uncertainty and the fogginess and the bit of, I'm not sure what's going on behind. We plan to fly. We plan to grow to a point of breakthrough where we break out and become what God calls us to be. You know, living like a caterpillar keeps you trapped in a way of doing church and mindsets that everybody else has moved on from and makes it difficult for you. Living like a pupa is just living in turmoil, living in indecision, living in discomfort. It puts kind of life on hold. You're like the baby in the birth canal, in the natural birth image. You're kind of not in the womb and not quite in the world. And it's a terrible place to be, is that? And you've got to break through, break out, grow through, grow out. And it's got to be personal. You have to spread your wings and fly, and then it can become corporate. If the new adventures that Dave talked about at the start of this year, when we talked about counting the stars, and he began to explain some of the vision we have for the future, some of the things we'd like to do, if that's ever got to become reality, I've got to get out of the tent, like he illustrated. I've got to get out of the pupa. I've got to embrace all that God is saying to me and to us and grow through and embrace it. We've got to fly from flower to flower, person to person, pollinating with them with the life of Christ. Now, I was thinking about this. It's not my place. It's nobody's place to tell you when that moment arrives for you. See, well, I'm still working some stuff through, Steve. I'm still kind of come to terms with some of these changes. It's not for me to say, well, stop it. You should be through by now. But you're all on a journey. But what I felt God say to me was this: it's sooner than you think. Some of you that are struggling in the soup were feeling, I'm not sure what they're talking about. I'm not sure where we're going here. It's sooner than you think, because the choice to embrace the butterfly, the sort of new expression of what this church is seeking to become, is as close as a choice to be it. And that can be today. It can be right now. It can be you saying, right, I'm in. Come on, I'm going to keep growing. I'm going to keep growing up. I'm going to keep growing together with this great family I'm with. And I'm going to keep growing. I'm going to grow through this current indecision and this strange season I'm in. I'm going to grow through. And the future starts now. And unless you make that decision at some point, you're in danger of getting stuck somewhere in the growth curve we're in. And I want to say this with all the love in my heart. I need you to do it. Because if we're going to fly, I need you to fly. You need me to fly. You need Rachel and Ben and Hannah and Dave and Helen and all the leaders. You need your small group leaders and your pod leaders. You need your family. We need each other to make a decision that says, this is good that God's doing. I loved it being a caterpillar. I chomped on that leaf for 20, however long it was. There's a whole new season come. You sense it in the Holy Spirit. Dave mentioned it earlier. There's this sense of God taking us into a new season. There's this image of going to a new season. You might not fully understand it in your head. You might not fully have got it all nailed down yet. But let me assure you, it's simply about loving, growing, and serving in three directions. And the growth bit is about you saying, I am going to grow up. I commit to grow in my relationship with you, Jesus, and the church, and the world. And that'll bring challenge. It'll bring some hard decisions sometimes. You'll have to do some stuff. But if you will commit and say, I'm in, you will grow up. And then you will grow with others who are around you in the same process. Keep it all proportionately and balanced. And then we will grow through and actually become. And I think to myself, why can't that be today? Why can't it be today? I close with this. Back in Ephesians 4, it makes clear our aim is to grow, verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and become the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's our aim, to grow. Our aim is to, verse 15, grow to become the mature body. And that's achieved, verse 16 says, by every part of the body, every supporting ligament growing and building itself up. To be the butterfly, we must grow up. Please make a decision today. I'm going to keep growing up in my faith. I'm going to grow up. And let the Holy Spirit drop into your heart what that means to you. Make a commitment that says, I'm going to grow with these people. We're going to grow together and all together. And I'm going to be part of this wonderful body we represent. And make a decision. I'm going to grow through any confusion, through any transitionary feel, into the fullness of what God's got for us. And Lord, today, I put a stake in the ground. I'm going to grow to become. Let's just bow our heads and pray a moment.